Let's pray. This is the word of God. God wants to speak with us. And Father, we think of that earlier verse in Hebrews, that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And Lord, our prayer this evening is that your word will be a sharp and clear and gracious word that will get to our hearts, that will really hear what you are seeking to say to us on this hugely important subject of encouragement. Lord, speak your word of life, we pray, and give us joy as we receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to be here. And when one is lovingly slotted into a program, one looks with a degree of anxiety / excitement at what you've been given. And I'm so grateful for the topic this evening that's been given to me. Encouragement is absolutely crucial to the life of the church. Absolutely crucial. I feel you've asked me to address something that takes us right to the heart of whether St. Nick's will work and do the work of God in Newbury or be a failure. It all depends on encouragement. For a moment, let's just take this word apart so you know what I'm talking about, because I'm not talking about that fluffy stuff called flattery, just saying empty, lovely words to the people around us. I'm talking about something which puts courage into people. Take the word apart, to encourage. And we all know what that feels like when somebody has said, it may be just a couple of words, but they've said something to us which changes the way things are. It changes the way we feel about a situation. I've got an amazing moment coming up next month. I can't believe it. I just feel so excited. I'm going back to my old school. You'll think he's just sad. It's just sad. But I left school 45 years ago, and just by a connection of various things, I happened to bump into the local MP in that area who said, well, you really must, the school would want to know that, you know. And anyway, I've got an arrangement to go to the school that I left 45 years ago and never been since. The headmaster seems happy that I'm going, all of that. I remember that moment when John Clark, history teacher, who I greatly respected, I thought a lot of John. I remember that moment when he said to me, Edwards, those days, nobody ever knew any Christian names, but he said to me, Edwards, you're a good student. I can remember the tone of voice. I remember the quad in which it happened. Nobody else said it to me. I mean, don't think I've got delusions of grandeur, but that word of encouragement that John Clark, history teacher, hugely admired, said to me, Edwards, you're a good student. And you've got those moments where many triggering stuff, I'm sure, in your own life. When somebody said those crucial words to you that caused you to believe in yourself a little bit more. Amazing. And friends, we need encouragement. Can I be turned down a bit? I'm hearing too much of myself. We need encouragement in every part of our lives. Of course we do. But we particularly need it spiritually. Because spiritually, I suggest, we generally speaking are wimps. We're very happy, for example, to share our faith with people who are likely to give us a good hearing. You know? The sort of person that we know they're there or thereabouts with our faith. But to share our faith with people who we know are likely to think we're a little bit, ooh, you know. In order to share your faith with them, you need something called courage. Real courage. Because you don't like to feel an idiot. You don't want people to say, and to reject you. So we all need courage. Courage is crucial to us. I wonder how that works out in your life, in your family perhaps. Courage to speak to people in your family who you haven't raised the issue of the Lord for years because you know it can be difficult and you need encouragement. You need that little bit more courage at work. It is difficult at work. I recognise that, and I speak with sensitivity because I realise you can't just go blurting out. You know, I totally get that. But you know those moments. You know those moments when you could perfectly easily have said something. Lunch break or whatever. You could have said something about the fantastic weekend you had and been to church and it's just so great. And you just didn't get there because of, frankly, it's for you to say it to yourself, not for me to make a judgment of you. But there will be those moments when you've not done it simply because of lack of courage. We need courage, folks. In our willingness to make ourselves vulnerable, to do new scary things, to reach out for the Lord and to go into new places, to trust him for perhaps a new responsibility in the life of the church. And we think, oh no, let's play it safe. No, I'd rather not if you don't mind. When if we had a bit more courage, we'd be saying, yeah, go for it. Go for it. It's daring. That ministry may fail. We may end up with egg on our faces, but let's go with it. Let's pray for it. Friends, we need courage. As you look at your future, and I recognise there are lots of different agendas playing out here. Those of you towards the beginning of your career, are you prepared to take that leap, that courageous leap of doing something which isn't naturally in the script, but you hear God say that you should go and do that thing, to take that step? Are you willing to be courageous? Those of you mid-career, you're established, things are going well. Can you have the courage to go on a new journey of faith? A new step, a new career, a new... I'm not saying the Lord is necessarily... I'm just testing. Are you willing to take that courageous step? And those of you coming towards the end of your career or in retirement... Are you willing to be courageous? You know, there are so many opportunities to serve the Lord. Perhaps to do a job in the third world, developing world, where they could really use a good accountant, really use a good architect, really use a medic, really use a businessman, got their head screwed on. And it won't have the security of staying in Newbury. I get that. It won't be hedged around with the comforts that we have living here, but it will be what the Lord wants. Do you hear what I'm pushing at? God wants us to be a courageous people who are willing to take decisive action, bold action for him. I am convinced we need courage. Therefore, there are logical steps in this sermon. Therefore, we need encouragement. We need people to put courage into us. We're not going to get there without people putting courage into us, and we need to be encouragers. Let's look at the setting of this particular reading. What's going on? So we're probably... Hebrews is a wonderful letter, and I love it very much. And it's hugely frustrating because we know so little about it. We still haven't worked out who wrote it. That's bizarre, isn't it? Well, he could have signed his name at the end, you know, left his address or something, but handy. The times people say, could it be Paul? It reads very differently from the letters of Paul. But lots of the thinking is in common, and certainly it's written by somebody who's on the inside of Jewish faith. And as we know, Paul was a Pharisee by background, so he has all those credentials, but it doesn't quite ring like Paul at all. We really don't know who wrote it. And we don't know when it was written. It's just conjecture. But we suppose it was probably written in the 60s, which means about a generation after the life and ministry of Jesus. That's quite helpful to place it. So the church has been going about 30 years. So the church is a known quantity. It's there. It's a sect still, remember that, within Judaism. It hasn't separated into a separate faith at this stage. It would be usual for people who follow Jesus to go to the temple, to go to the synagogue, to continue with all those practices, and that continued up to AD 70, the fall of Jerusalem. So for a long time, a whole generation and more, it was still part of a sect within Judaism. What seems to be happening here, and what's suggested, is that perhaps these people were still going to the synagogues, but they'd given up on their special Christian meetings. They'd given up on those places where they were having fellowship with other people who followed Jesus. Whatever, they're slipping a bit. And so the word is, let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We've got limited opportunities to encourage one another. We don't know when the Lord will return. We don't know when our lives will come to an end, which none of these things are in our hands. We need to take every opportunity for building one another up. The writer reflects on how things used to be, which is why I got Pete to read on to verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you'd received the light, after you'd become Christians, when you stood your ground in a great contest in face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. So they'd been through a rough time. At that time, they'd stood strongly for God. And now they're just slipping away a bit. And it happens, folks, doesn't it? It happens so quickly. Somebody was reflecting on this with me just a few days ago. How, you know, you miss a Sunday. And it's actually quite painful. You know, oh, golly, you know, miss it. You miss two. And it actually doesn't feel quite so bad. You miss three and... you're getting into the... And the person was just reflecting on me how easily they had slipped away from fellowship. It doesn't happen with a fanfare. It happens because there was something in the way and suddenly I couldn't... I do say to you very seriously, be faithful in your attendance. Be faithful in your attendance. You know, it may be something that's hardwired. Not as a law. Not as a law. Not as I'll be struck down by... God, if I miss us, not that, but just we need fellowship. We need the encouragement of one another. We need to be together. Let it be something that's hardwired, not law. Please hear me. Because then it becomes empty and we can get driven by things that won't bless us. But we need to be faithful. So we have a need for encouragement. I was going to say, even in this situation... we could go to many parts of the world, the suffering church, where it's obvious that they need encouragement. I don't know how much time you spent with people from the persecuted church in other countries. All I can say is my faith has grown up when I've spent time with them. To hear of what it means to be worshipping together in the secret. Because you know the penalties that we're talking about Europe. We're not talking about dark side of the moon. We're talking about places you could fly to in a couple of hours, where actually it's a matter of real danger to be a Christian. Many, many parts of our world today. It's obvious that they need courage and given encouragement, but we do, if we're going to do God's work today. So there is a huge need for encouragement. Let me then direct you to the source of encouragement, because I want to encourage you. And I want to take you to 2 Corinthians 1, which for me is the heart of the teaching on encouragement. Hebrews is great, but here's a real little reflection on what I would call the process of encouragement. If you have the ability to do so, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. I'll read a few verses to you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. I don't like the word comfort. My wife, Sue, is classically educated and she says to me, darling, it's a good word because its roots are with strength. It's a good word. Comfort sounds like something you need in a washing process, doesn't it? And It's a sort of there word, isn't it? Oh, we had a rough day, there, hope it's better tomorrow, you know. Comfort, it, for me, is not a strong word. I respect Sue, as a matter of principle. But it doesn't sound a strong word, I'm afraid. I'll only give you this one, but the Greek verb on which this is based is parakaleo. And parakaleo is translated in Hebrews, as we discovered earlier, because it was the same verb, as encouragement. And I find this whole passage works much better if we describe God not as the God of all comfort, but the God of all encouragement. Because that's the word, parakaleo. So God of all encouragement, who, I'll keep the translation going, who encourages us in all our troubles, so that we can encourage those in any trouble with the encouragement we ourselves have received from God. Do you get it? God's the source of all encouragement, and he gives us encouragement as we go through difficult times, so that we can encourage other people with the same encouragement he gave to us, this sort of process of encouragement. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our encouragement overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your encouragement and salvation. If we are encouraged, it is for your encouragement, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our encouragement. That's great, isn't it? But what I'm wanting you to focus on this moment is the source of true encouragement. And the source of true encouragement is God. It's lovely to be encouraged by other people. And in this sermon, I want to affirm the importance of the encouragement of other people. Brilliant. But the source of encouragement, the ultimate source, is God. Lovely as the people may well be around you, I can't really comment, but let's assume, the encouragement we give to one another goes up and down, doesn't it? It does. Because we have different moods, and because the weather changes, and sometimes we feel absolutely fantastic, and other days... So the encouragement we give to one another undulates, doesn't it? Oscillates. It's not consistent. Bless, you know, be encouraged to keep it going, but we're not there all the time. But God is. God is. So, friends, make sure continually you're open to the true source of encouragement, open to God's encouragement. The most important thing are your own personal disciplines of worship with God, your times of fellowship with God. Let's go back to the hardwiring analogy. You need to be hardwired to be receiving the encouragement that comes from God. And the reason for that is, and be fascinating if we were to share testimony of this, but I would be pretty sure that most of us at some point in our lives have had times when there wasn't any encouragement from those around us. We're just, it's in a bleak place. We therefore need to know we're well connected to the source of encouragement. I do urge you to live close to the Word of God. With real excitement, because the Word is always faithful. I know I've said it here when I've been here before, but I do commend to you Bible in a Year. I mean, 1,000 other ways in which you can do it. But the Gospel according to Nicky Gumbel. Bible in a Year, it's an app. I listen to it 20, 25 minutes a day, always listen to it. It's just part of what I do, and I found that such a blessing. I'm not saying it's better than that. I'm just saying I've been really blessed by it. If you've got notes, Bible reading notes that have blessed you, that's fantastic. God bless you. Hang in there. But let's make sure, by whatever means, we're receiving something of the Word of God day by day, because God is the source of all true encouragement. At times, St. Nick's will be hard work. At times, what you're doing within the life of the church will not be flourishing at times. We can't rely on the encouragement from other people as being our prime source of encouragement must be God, receiving the blessings which only He can give. Guard those times of prayer. However you pray, guard the times when it's just you and God and you can receive from Him. Okay? So we've established the need for encouragement. We're not naturally courageous people spiritually. We're not naturally courageous people. We have a need of encouragement. We have a source of encouragement. Then may I address the issue of our calling to be encouragers. And this is for all of you. And if you're looking at me and think, oh, it's just the sort of thing a minister should do. You know, it's paid. That's what we expect them to do. Well, I am called to it, but you are called too. We're all called. And I know that there will be those of you who will want to impress me with your shyness or other qualifications you feel you have for enabling you not to be an encourager, but you won't impress me. We're all able to encourage, and we all need to encourage. But hear what Paul says. God's the God of all encouragement, who encourages us in all our troubles so that we can encourage those in any trouble with the encouragement we ourselves have received from God. The point is, you, whatever your life story, are uniquely qualified to encourage other people. Your life story enables you to get close to people in a way that I can't, and the person next to you can't, but you can. And what Paul is saying here is that what we've gone through, the experiences we've had, have actually enabled us to be encouragers. So, think of specifics. The loss of a loved one, the agonizing loss of maybe a friend or a member of the family, and we've all been there in one way or another. Rather than seeing that as a minus, minus, minus experience, we see that actually God met with us in those moments, grotesque as they were, horrible as the loss was and the pain of that. But the Lord gave us strength, and in giving us strength to come through that time, what He said is, I've now given you a gift that you need to pass on to other people. Encouragement that you can bring to another person so that you can talk to another person and say, I know what you're going through. I've been there. Nothing is lost. Isn't this exciting? Nothing is lost. Those devastating moments that I know some of you have known of a business failure. So embarrassing. So gutting. Just awful. Terrible. Remember how awful it felt. The Lord, in bringing you through that experience, has given you the qualification to reach out to others going through a similar experience. Brokenness in marriage, brokenness of relationships. Where have you been? You know the agony. You know the pain. You know those moments of rejection. You know the feeling of being in the pit, just a wretched place. Our great God, in meeting you in those moments and bringing you through those moments, has given you qualifications, unique qualifications for reaching out to other people. I find this so exciting. It needs to cause us to reflect on those we can then pass on our particular blessings to, knowing now that you are uniquely qualified. Who are you going to encourage? Who are you going to reach out to? I thank God for those who have gone out of their way through the years to encourage me. I'm absolutely clear. I am standing here this evening only because of the courage other people have put in me. The process started when I was 18, and somebody came to me and said, which I found really interesting, that he believed I was being called to be a preacher. And the honest truth is, the only reason I went out and did what Derek had asked me to do was I was too shy to do anything else. So I said yes, because that's the alternative to saying no. So I said yes. He gave me two preaching dates, and I went out to two village churches in Essex near my home, And completely terrifying. Completely terrifying. I would never have been there. You didn't realize you're completely terrifying. Oh, wait, you stand here, you'd understand. But I mean, it is a terrifying thing to do. But Derek said, I believe that's what God wants you to do. And so I went off and I did it. And I preached and it was truly terrifying. I may have told some of you of this story before, because for me it was totally shaping of my life. Stanbridge, just outside Southend, my home. Little fellowship, and probably actually 40 or 50 people there in the evening. Made sure the family weren't there, because that would be terrifying. And, it can't have been great. Seriously, it can't have been great. And horror of horrors, at the back of the church, there was a little lady sitting there who wasn't a family member, but she was a friend of the family. I hadn't seen her getting there, or I didn't know why she was there. A Miss Savage. It wasn't looking good. And at the end of that service, Miss Savage came up to me. And she could have blown the whole thing. She could have said something cheesy. She could have said something, oh, the family must be so proud. You know, something that would have lost the moment, you know, and ruined the moment. This woman, who was known to be a godly woman, she looked at me and said, Jonathan, the Lord was with you tonight. The Lord was with me tonight. She was blessed through what I did. How extraordinary was that? Who'd ever have thought? An 18-year-old, no doubt, talking to somebody in her 70s, that she, this godly woman, was blessed by what I did. Extraordinary. I still brings tears to my eyes, you think. But that's why I'm doing it tonight, to be honest, having the decade since, because somebody went out of their way, Derek first, then Miss Savage, to encourage, to put courage into it. I didn't have it myself. It wasn't my possession. They gave me courage that has enabled me. In saying that story, I'm also talking, of course, about the power you've got. The power you've got to put courage into people. Leave the flattery. But the ability you have to say to people a word from God, a word that will build them up. I would also say this to you, don't assume that people are encouraged. As you look around the church, and St. Nick's is such a great church, and there's so many fantastic things happening, and I love every contact I have with this church, and I thank God for it. It's brilliant. It's very easy to assume, looking around, that people's lives are fine. And actually, everybody needs encouragement. Could I just ask you to be particularly energetic in encouraging people who have hidden ministries? There are lots in the life of the church. People who just get on with stuff, maybe literally hidden. They happen whilst you're not around. The people who do, a particular heart I have for people who do administration. It's very easy, isn't it, to knock administrators. I hate it. You know, just if it's an easy thing, anybody can do that. I have never seen the Holy Spirit move in power in any church without there being good administrators. Hear that? I have never seen the Holy Spirit move in power without there being good, godly, Spirit-filled administrators. Do bless your administrators. Take the opportunity. Don't do it all this week because they get suspicious. But, I mean, spread it out a bit. But thank them for what they do. Bless them for what they do. But, you know, the ministry amongst children and young people, so crucial, so brilliant, so easily ignored by the majority of the church. Probably doesn't happen here, but it can happen very easily. And in his absence of our dear Will, you know, don't assume rectors are, by definition, necessarily incessantly encouraged. You know, take your moments to bless him and to thank God for him and what he does. I remember that moment when I heard a stonking sermon. That's a technical term. Brilliant. Isaiah 44, and the word sizzled. I was in the church in the middle of London, And it's just, it was just a wonderful word. And I went up to the minister at the end and I just said, I knew him well. I said, Keith, thanks so much. It's a brilliant word. Had tears in his eyes. Had tears in his eyes. And he choked. He said, I'm sorry, Jonathan. He said, I've responded really badly. But it's just so long since anybody said thank you for a word. Do you know what really hurt me about that? Was if you'd spoken to any member of that fellowship, I know this, they would have said he's a brilliant preacher. Never, ever preaches a dud sermon. Just, we're always blessed. Every week we're blessed. But nobody had taken the trouble of passing that word of encouragement. Don't assume people are encouraged. Don't do that. You have a responsibility. I absolve you from any need to say anything kind to me at the end of this. So, that's not the point. But actually, it's quite easy to thank visitors. That's just a matter of fact. But those who faithfully do the work day in, day out, week in, week out, just tune in. You're encouraging antennae a little bit. Can I flip this message from a moment? It's lovely to reflect on encouragement. It has to be a good thing, doesn't it? But just as we can be encouragers, so too we will be tempted at times to be discouragers, to say things which actually put a spanner in the works, to say things that actually pull people down. And I'm sure you don't want to be there. I'm sure you don't want to do it. But I just need to name it because I'm afraid I've been involved in church life for too long and I've seen too many nasty emails in the life of churches. Happens, shouldn't, does. And I've seen bad moments, too many bad moments, not all the time, not the majority of the time, but I've seen bad moments and you've had bad moments here. Can I just say, be very careful never to be a discourager. In those moments when you bring discouragement, you are simply doing the devil's work for him. That's what's going on. I'm not saying we should never say anything critical. We should say, we should be honest and open in our thoughts with God. We should, all of that, but always with grace. Always with the aim, the target of building people up, of strengthening them, even if at times we have to speak the truth in love and say some straightforward stuff. We'll do it with a view, with prayers, many prayers, to build people up and encourage them. So, I think the word is clear. I want to reflect for a moment on the ways of encouraging. I'm interested, as I reflected on this, so often encouragement involves very little things, doesn't it? It's not grand gestures. It is just, you know, back to the beginning, that history master to me, just a sentence of encouragement that turned my thinking round. That's why I remember it so clearly. Just turned, I didn't have a great view of myself, and he turned my thinking round. So often it is just about a few words. It is about that brief email that just shows consideration, just shows you saw that moment, you heard the pain, you heard the need, whatever. Sometimes just saying it with flowers. I love this. In the first church of which I was a minister in Suffolk, we had a flower ministry, and it's still going, bless them. And it was to take the Sunday flowers, which everybody does, praise God, lovely. And there was then a flower ministry group. They divide the flowers up 10, 15 ways, get loads of oases and make little poses, and then find any excuse in the life of the estate. It was a housing estate. But find any excuse for getting flowers into people's homes. So we'd hear they've had a baby, we'd hear they got a new job. They didn't need to be redeemed. They didn't need to be Christian. Just need to be there. You know, just whatever, just moved in, whatever it was, we tried to make sure. And through the years, they developed an amazing system of getting these flowers out. I love it because it's so simple. It's just using a resource that's there. It's about time and care and prayerful attention and the encouragement. I mean, there is no doubt in that church they have seen many people come to new life in Jesus in part through the flowers. And people say, well, why did you come to church? Because I couldn't believe. There was a posy there for my on my doorstep when I got home with a little message saying, thinking of you at this difficult time. Do you know, I just love that as an illustration, because you need to find people to man a flower ministry in this church unless the Lord is calling you to, but just because often it's about taking simple little things to turn things around. So what are the results of encouragement? The results of encouragement, what would it mean for St. Nick's to be more encouraged in its ministry? It would mean that you would be yet more bold in your witness. It would mean that Newbury would hear more readily and more speedily the good news of Jesus Christ. It would mean that you'd be more able to stand against those many things here in our town which are not of God, which will not build his kingdom. I pray that you may be given that kind of encouragement. Another anniversary, 40 years ago, this summer, I went to Romania. I went to Romania because a disabled friend of mine wanted to go, and he asked me to go with him. I certainly didn't have any money at the time, and he just asked me, would I go as his carer? That opened all sorts of things for me. I didn't know what a carer was. I learnt, but I didn't know. Anyway, I took this disabled man, brilliant man, doctor of biblical archaeology, fantastic preacher, an amazing person, in a wheelchair with muscular dystrophy, very, very weak. If he wanted to go anywhere, I had to put him there. You know, I mean, it was as simple as that. So we went to Romania. So Ceausescu, the communist regime, still has 10 years to run. It's his worst 10 years. We went there to meet the Christians. I'd never seen a persecuted church before. That was all brand new. Amazing. We know we were being followed by the secret police wherever we went. They weren't terribly clever. We could spot them in the morning following us. None of that mattered. But just living in that setting of persecution, of pressure. Very few Christians went to prison in Romania. That wasn't generally what happened. Generally what happened was that if you're a Christian, you wouldn't get to university. If you were a Christian and were of huge ability and had huge qualifications by ever means you'd gained them, you'd never get a good job, and if you got a reasonable job, you wouldn't ever get promotion. So it was just sort of undermining the life of the community all the time. For me, the most brilliant moment in that whole visit was one night, we were going to a prayer and Bible study, and the pastor we went to see had said he'd love us to go to a prayer and Bible study, and I thought, how brilliant, you know, midweek. Apparently I was at meeting a dozen or so folk, won't know the language, but no matter, you know. We got into the van, went off to this prayer and Bible study. Hundreds of people in the road. So I assumed there was a football match or something. I said, you know, what are all these people doing? And Joseph said to us, he said, oh, these people are coming to the midweek prayer and Bible study. I think, oh, wow, you know, that's different. Got to the church, not far away from those scenes. The church was already full. There were 700 people already in the church, and there were estimated to be another 700 people outside the church. In this situation of pressure and difficulty, we worshipped God. It was the most extraordinary evening. Extraordinary. Extraordinary because what we were learning was God is the source of true encouragement. Let's pass on as much as we can to one another. But it was the worship of that evening which will live with me. The brightness in the eyes of folk as they worshipped their God who would not let them go. Friends, I pray for this church, and I assure you of this. The only way you will go forward with strength, with conviction, is by taking seriously the ministry of encouragement in which every one of you shares. May it be so, to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your encouragement to us. Thank you, Lord, that you day by day put courage into us so that even if we go through difficult times, you're able to make something of those times. You're able to use those times to bless us and through us to bless other people. I thank you. Lord, I'm really excited, Lord, as I look at the folk here this evening. I thank you for all the gifts you've given to us. I thank you for all the experiences you've given to us and for the way in which you are enabling us to use our experiences, to use our gifts, to build other people up. Lord, I pray in this moment for those specific things that we can do before we go to rest tonight to encourage other people. Emails that could be shared, texts that could be sent, phone calls that could be made, something, words, kind words that could be spoken. Whatever you're calling us to do, Lord, we pray that we may be encouragers for you. Lord, hear our prayers, and in the power of your Spirit, enable us to be an encouraging church. In Jesus' name, amen.